Chapter 5. Leadership is about character, being a role model. Regardless of whether you adhere to a transactional or a transformational model of leadership, or whatever model you might aspire to, it will mean nothing if you are first and foremost not a role model for others to follow. Whoever is at the top of the team or organization makes a big difference to their group, team, or company. As the old saying goes, the fish rots from the head. It is certainly true that poor or dysfunctional leadership permeates down through the team or organization. Then it is also true that effective inspirational leadership also filters down and directly impacts the team. Example is not the main thing in influencing others, it is the only thing. Albert Schweitzer. Remember, as we have discussed previously, you are being observed constantly as a leader, so you can't afford to slip up in your behavior or actions. So, what are the characteristics of leaders that set apart those leaders who are considered effective? Do things for people not because of who they are or what they do in return, but because of who you are. Mother Teresa. The Covey characteristics of leadership. Leadership is significant. We all know that. It's a bit like saying that we need oxygen to breathe. However, I've heard it said that up to 60 to 80% of the culture of any organization is determined by the leader and or its leadership team. Now, that's a bit more than just breathing. So, what are the characteristics of effective leadership? I'm sure that the list below is non-exhaustive, but it has certainly made sense to me in terms of the individuals that I have seen who have been authentic and inspiring leaders. There are 5 major components to leadership as outlined below. Number 1. Character. What is character? It's about integrity, personal credibility, and telling the truth. In his book, Principle-Centered Leadership, Dr. Stephen Covey has written about the importance of leaders following principles in their daily behavior. It's true to say that the most important quality people look for and admire in a leader is personal credibility. As Howard Morgan writes in his 2005 book, The Art and Practice of Leadership Coaching, credibility is the foundation of leadership. If we don't believe in the messenger, we won't believe the message. Professor Robert Coffey from the London Business School has written a book with a challenging title, namely, Why Should Anyone Be Led by You? A great question. What would your answer be? Why would they follow you? He goes on to say that generally speaking, people have lost trust in leadership, especially in the social and political arena. However, because of that lack of trust, people are yearning now for authentic leadership. In brief, being a person of character and being authentic is all about doing what you say you will do, or DWYSYWD for short. No matter where I go in visiting organizations across the planet, the message is the same re-integrity. It comes in slightly different forms depending on whom I talk to, but it sounds like the following. Practice what you preach. Walk the talk. Put your money where your mouth is. Actions speak louder than words. Have the courage of your convictions. So, how does character get defined? Try this for size. Making decisions with the organization paramount in mind versus allowing a personal agenda to influence decisions. Keeping commitments that are made. Practicing self-development, constantly learning. Being receptive to and specifically asking for feedback from others. Being approachable by anyone. Treating everyone the same. Treating the waitress and concierge with dignity as well as people of high status. Trusting other people, assuming they have good intentions. Working collaboratively with others versus seeing everyone as a competitor. not acting in an arrogant manner towards others. Being tenacious and not giving up because something is difficult. And finally, having emotional resilience, adjusting rapidly to changing environments. Martin Luther King says, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Number 2, personal capability. This is all about whether you have direct knowledge or hands-on skills in relation to the industry or area in which you might lead. I've certainly heard it said that a good leader can acquire certain technical information and expertise on the job, and that it's more about having people skills and emotional intelligence. But in the main, there is little doubt that having direct prior knowledge and expertise can assist credibility and job performance. What would you consider personal capabilities might include? The answer might be technical knowledge, product or service knowledge, a thorough understanding of what the organization produces and why it is superior to competitive products or services, problem analysis and problem-solving skills, the ability to define a problem, analyze it, and come up with solid recommendations for resolving it, professional skills, the ability to write an intelligent, concise report, the ability to make a compelling presentation in front of a group, the ability to organize one's work in an efficient manner, to monitor progress, and to act without being told by someone in authority. Innovation, the ability to have a fresh outlook in approaching a problem, to shake loose old methods and processes and see new possibilities. Innovation means being able to climb out of ruts and do things in a different fashion. Initiative, the person who sees something falling through the cracks between one department and another and who immediately takes steps to make certain it is handled. It involves volunteering that something needs to be done and no one else is currently doing it. Effective use of information technology. This person sets an example in the consistent use of email, powerful software applications, and any technology that escalates performance. Number 3, focus on results. It is one thing to set the vision for the company or group, it is another to assist them to get there. Setting goals and providing the necessary support for the team to meet the targets is a key role for any leader. What would you consider a focus on results might include? How do leaders focus on results? See the following list. Establishing stretch goals for their people. Taking responsibility for the outcomes of the group. Providing ongoing feedback and coaching to their people. Setting loftier targets for the group to achieve. Personally sponsoring an initiative or action. Initiating new programs, projects, processes, client relationships, or technology. Focusing on the organization goals and ensuring that they are translated into actions by their department. Operating with speed and intensity, accelerating the pace of the group. Championing the cause of the customer or client. Balancing long-term and short-term objectives. Number 4, interpersonal skills. Leaders need to be able to connect with their followers and connect well. Of course, it's also about being task-oriented, but what's the point of being so outcome-oriented that you forget about your people? What would you consider interpersonal skills or people skills might include? A leader with strong interpersonal skills would include the following. Communicating powerfully and prolifically. Inspiring others to high performance. Building positive relationships with others. Developing the skills and talents of subordinates. Working in a collaborative manner with others. Being an effective team member. Recognizing and rewarding the contributions of others. Being open and receptive to new ideas. Responding positively to feedback. effectively resolving conflicts within their own department and with other groups outside, influencing people upward in the organization, in addition to peers and subordinates, building the self-esteem of others, giving positive indications of their ability to succeed, and finally, teaching others in a helpful manner. Number 5, leading organization change. Anything that does not grow on the planet dies, and that goes for businesses as well. Leaders need to be able to provide the vision to their people, as well as the strategy about how to arrive and achieve the final result. But we're creatures of habit, and generally we don't like to change, so the leader has to be able to guide the team through the change process, which might, of course, take months to achieve, but could take years. What would you consider leading organizational change might include? What are the specific skills required for leading organizational change? Try the following. Has the ability to be a champion for change in the organization. Leads projects or programs, presenting them so that others support them. Is an effective marketer for his or her work groups, projects, programs, or products. Has a strategic perspective. Knows his or her work relates to the organization's business strategy, line of sight connection. Translates the organization's vision and objectives into challenging and meaningful goals for others. Takes the long view, can be trusted to balance short-term and long-term needs of the organization. Connects the outside world with internal groups. Represents the work group to key groups outside the group or department. Effectively resolving conflicts within their own department and with other groups outside. Helps understand how meeting customers' needs is central to the mission and goals of the organization. So there you have it, the 5 major components of leadership according to Dr. Stephen Covey and depicted in the figure below. The figure below represents a tent where the central peg is character, and the 4 outside pegs are focus on results, personal capability, interpersonal skills, and leading organizational change. Key leadership skills. In an interesting article published in the McKinsey Quarterly in January 2015 by Claudio Festa and others, they reported on a comprehensive study that looked at the skills for effective leadership, and they discovered a small subset of leadership skills that closely correlated with leadership success, especially among frontline leaders. Not surprisingly, there is some overlap with the work of Stephen Covey, but let's look at what they found. Using their own practical experience and searching the relevant academic literature, they came up with a comprehensive list of 20 distinctive leadership traits. They then surveyed 189,000 people in 81 diverse organizations around the globe to assess how frequently certain kinds of leadership behavior was applied within their organizations. They then divided the sample into organizations whose leadership performance was strong and those that were weak. What they found was that leaders in organizations with high-quality teams typically displayed 4 of the 20 possible types of behavior. Those 4 behaviors explained 89% of the variance or difference between strong and weak organizations in terms of leadership effectiveness. What were these 4 behaviors that differentiated effective leaders? They were as follows. Number 1, being supportive. Leaders who are supportive understand and sense how other people feel. By showing authenticity and sincere interest in those around them, they build trust and inspire and help colleagues to overcome challenges. They intervene in group work to promote organizational efficiency, and they allay unwarranted fears about external threats and prevent the energy of the team from dissipating with any internal conflict. Number 2. operating with a strong results orientation. Leadership is about not only developing and communicating a vision and setting objectives, but also following through to achieve results. Leaders with a strong results orientation tend to emphasize the importance of efficiency and productivity and prioritize the highest value work that needs to be done. Number 3, seeking different perspectives. This particular skill or trait is obvious in managers who monitor trends affecting organizations and who grasp changes occurring in the environment. In turn, they encourage employees or team members to contribute ideas that could improve performance, and they also accurately differentiate between important and unimportant issues, as well as give appropriate weight to stakeholder concerns. Leaders who do well on this dimension typically base their decisions on sound analysis and avoid the many biases to which some decisions are prone. Number 4, solving problems effectively. The process that precedes decision-making is problem-solving when information is discovered, gathered, analyzed, and considered. This can be difficult to get right, yet it is a key input into decision-making for major issues, as well as daily ones such as how to handle a team dispute. Leadership is all about character, and the work of Dr. Stephen Covey, as well as research from various areas, highlights the kinds of factors and skills that differentiate the really effective leaders from those who don't make the grade. Information worth knowing about, wouldn't you say? Latin proverb: it is absurd that a man should rule others who cannot rule himself. Teamwork. One of the factors that leaders often ask about and that is critical to know is what makes for effective teamwork. This is vital, given that the Harvard Business Review in 2016 found that more than 75% of an employee's day was spent communicating with colleagues, and this is often in a group or team setting. Generally speaking, it is a given that profitability in a company increases when workers collaborate and work together. Google became focused on this issue. Google, with its big data, looked at all aspects of a team, but could not discern what factors were critical to team success. So in 2012, they began Project Aristotle to study hundreds of their teams to find out why some teams stumbled while others soared. Input from Carnegie Mellon, MIT, and Union College in the USA helped determine that what distinguished good teams from dysfunctional ones was how teammates treated each other. In particular, there were two prime behaviours that good teams shared. First, members spoke in roughly the same proportion or about the same amount. As long as everyone got a chance to speak, the team did well. Second, the good teams had high social intelligence, where they were skilled at intuitively knowing how others felt on the team based on their tone, expressions, and nonverbal cues. So, it was about conversational turn-taking along with empathy. In summary, associated research by Harvard Business School professor Amy Edmondson reports that good teams therefore experience what was termed psychological safety, which is a sense of confidence that the team will not embarrass, reject, or punish someone for speaking up. In other words, the team climate was one of interpersonal trust and mutual respect in which people were comfortable in being themselves. How do leaders create this psychological safety? In one team, focusing on their dynamics, the leader asked everyone to share something personal about themselves, and the leader decided to go first. This opened the group up as they disclosed aspects of themselves not known to others in the group. The group became cohesive and trusting. They all agreed to try harder to notice when someone in the group was feeling excluded or down. In other teams, they all agreed to listen to one another and show sensitivity to feelings and needs. Vulnerability. One last hint. What makes someone a strong leader? One characteristic that is often overlooked is vulnerability. This sounds like a paradox, but it's true. Being vulnerable is the mark of a genuine and authentic leader. You're showing that you're human too. The best managers acknowledge their weaknesses and aren't afraid to show their vulnerabilities. It's tempting to want colleagues and your direct reports to see you only at your best, and that's a poor way to lead. For one thing, it's not sustainable. We're all human, and we all make mistakes. Sooner or later, you will too. For another, leading is about connecting. People will follow you, work hard for you, and sacrifice for you if they feel connected to you. And they won't feel that way if you only let them see what you think will impress them. So don't be afraid to own up to the areas where you aren't perfect. Be prepared to acknowledge your weaknesses, your slip-ups, your mistakes, and your failures. And own up to them as soon as they occur, and not sometime later when it might be more convenient. If it helps, think of it this way. You aren't weak. You have weaknesses. There is a difference. Brené Brown said, "Vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weaknesses." Chapter 5, Summary. Leadership is about character. Being a role model. First and foremost, you need to be a role model for others to follow. Setting the example is a key. The Covey characteristics of leadership. Number 1, character. 2, personal capability. 3, focus on results. 4, interpersonal skills. 5, leading organizational change. Key leadership skills. A significant research study found the following aspects were critical to being an effective leader. 1, being supportive. 2, operating with a strong results orientation. 3, seeking different perspectives. 4, solving problems effectively. Teamwork. In 2012, Google began Project Aristotle to study hundreds of their teams to find out why some teams stumbled while others soared. In particular, there were two prime behaviours that good teams shared. In brief, it was about psychological safety, where individuals in the team all got a chance to speak and the team demonstrated empathy towards each other. Vulnerability. One characteristic that is often overlooked is vulnerability. This sounds like a paradox, but it's true. Being vulnerable is the mark of a genuine and authentic leader. You're showing that you're human too. Leadership is all about character, and the work of Dr. Stephen Covey, as well as research from various areas, highlights the kinds of factors and skills that differentiate the really effective leaders from those that don't make the grade.